The following lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg was recorded live and is presented to you free of charge by Galilei Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginzburg. Galilei Institute is a non-profit organization and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Inner Dimension homepage at www.inner.org. www.inner.org or email us at inner@inner.org.
In this week's parsha, Parashat Bo, we have the three final plagues of the 10 plagues. It's a very beautiful and simple allusion to this, and the name of the parsha itself, which is Bo, the word Bo equals three. It's a very simple word spelled with only two letters, Bet Aleph equals three. And the last three plagues are recorded here before the final exodus from Egypt. The first two, which are the locust and the darkness, and then finally the one by itself. That's the way the word Bo is spelled. Bet is two, then Aleph is one. The final one is the epitome of all of the 10 plagues, which is the smiting of the firstborn of the Egyptians. Actually, the Moses himself, when he first came to Pharaoh, he warned him, or he said that if you will not send our people free from Egypt, so God says that I will smite your firstborn. So Pharaoh was told this at the very beginning, but it only happened at the very end, as the principle in Kabbalah teaches us, that the end is wedged into the beginning and the beginning into the end. He was told in the beginning that God is going to smite the firstborn, and then it happened at the end, the last of the 10 plagues. And then finally, Pharaoh at that point lost all of his own audacity and chutzpah, that time after time after time Hashem, God, showed his miracles, and nonetheless he hardened his heart and was not willing to send the people free. After the last plague, his heart was broken and he finally did send the people free. After that, in the following parsha of next week, so once more his heart becomes hardened and he runs after the people to catch them before the splitting of the Red Sea to bring them back to Egypt. Nonetheless, after the 10 plagues are over, the people is now able to leave the bondage, the Egyptian bondage. Now there's a very beautiful and important image that appears together with the last plague. The plague of smiting the firstborn. That just like Paro represents tremendous audacity, even though there's another evil force in the world which is even more chutzpah than Paro himself, that we'll mention in the continuation. The animal in the world, because there always are parallels between human properties and phenomena and characteristics that we find even in the animal world. And in the animal world, that animal that represents chutzpah, that shows chutzpah, audacity, and normally its negative boldness of spirit, is the dog. Now, just after the 10th plague took place, before even Pharaoh now releases the Jewish people to leave the bondage of Egypt, the Torah makes a very very unusual statement, a description which at first glance it's even a little bit difficult to understand why this is so important for the Torah to tell us. But the Torah tells us that lo yechratz kelev lishono, that when the firstborn of the Egyptian were being killed, no dog barked. So for some mysterious, we'll try to explain, this is the image, because each week we're trying to meditate on some central image of this week's Torah reading. And today, the image is the image of the dog, together with the 10th, the final plague, and that no dog barked. Now the The literal reading of that "no dog barked" is Lo Yechratz Kedav Lishono, which literally reads "no dog sharpened his tongue." Because the bark requires a sharp tongue. And no dog sharpened his tongue to bark against the Jewish people. There's a famous saying of the sages in the Talmud and the Gemara that dogs have a certain supernatural senses to them. That one sense is that they're very, very sensitive to the angel of death. That if the angel of death appears or enters the city, that's the expression of Chazal, then the dogs begin to wane, to cry. That if you hear dogs crying, it says in Talmud, that's a sign that the angel of death is around. On the other hand, if dogs laugh, sometimes dogs are very happy and they start laughing and jumping up and down. If dogs laugh, that's a sign that the prophet Eliyahu HaNavi has entered the city. So we see that there's some very, very deep, unusual sensitivity that the dogs have, that apparently no other animal or no other being has this particular sensitivity to recognize and distinguish who, what force is entering the scene of our surroundings, whether it's the bad force, the angel of death, or whether it's Elijah the prophet. On Kabbalah we're even taught that there's a very deep relationship between the dog and Elijah, because they both have the identical numerical value. The word dog, Kelev, equals 52, which is a number, is one of God's names. God has a name that equals 52. This is the name that corresponds to the power of kingdom or leadership. The name that is 52. So the word Kelev equals this number 52. So does the word Elijah, Eliyahu. So there's some strong affinity between a dog and between Elijah. When dogs are very happy, they send, that means, that reflects that they're sensing that their ultimate soul root in Kedusha, in holiness, is here, is coming here. So they start laughing. So we see that even though dogs are normally, a dog is a very negative, represents negative characteristics, especially the characteristic of negative audacity or chutzpah. He's always barking, give, give, he always wants more. There's a verse in Isaiah that reads that the dogs are bold of spirit, are bold of the soul, they are never satiated. No matter how much you give them, they're always barking for more and more. And that's a symbol that represents the opposite of Kedusha, the opposite of holiness. Because something that is holy, like a tzaddik, of a tzaddik, it says, tzaddik ocheles ov nasho, he's always satiated. He never wants more and more. He's not always crying out and barking, give me more and more and more. So that is a negative, a very negative thing. It's chutzpah and it's azut. Azut means boldness or audacity that's coming from the other side. But at the same time, as we're going to see, there are certain things about dogs which are very, very positive. The sages teach us different interesting things about dogs. First of all, it says that a dog recognizes his master, knows his master more than any other animal. In fact, in the Gemara, it says that this is the difference between a dog and a cat. That cats don't know the master. Why? It says because they eat mice. The dogs don't eat mice, so they retain the utmost to the high point of consciousness. But in a certain sense, of all animals, the most conscious of animals is the dog. That's one thing that the sages say about dogs. Another good thing that they say about dogs is that dogs are the smartest. That's why you can train them more than any other animal. It says the dogs are the smartest of all animals. Even though usually it says about a fox that foxes are very smart, but the difference is that the smartness of a fox is cunning, that he's very cunning in his nature. But just what we would call native intelligence or native consciousness, that most corresponds to a dog more than a fox. But the fox has more cunning to him. But a dog, just pure native intelligence, has more than any other animal. This is what the sages say. So on the one hand, it says the dogs are the most bold, the most chutzpah of animals. In general, chutzpah and boldness is negative, but even this attribute sometimes is considered positive. Because just as it says that the dog is the most az, the most bold of spirit, it also says about the Jewish people ourselves that we are the most bold of nations. The very same word. So it's not always bad to be bold, sometimes it's very good to be bold. Before the Mashiach comes, it says in the generation of the coming of Mashiach, there will be a lot of chutzpah yiske. So what's more, the simple interpretation is that it's a negative characteristic. But it says that also, in order to overcome the negative chutzpah, the good also has to have audacity, positive audacity and boldness, in order to be able to overcome all of the negative audacity that exists in the world. So that's why you have to be bold. In Hasidic tradition, it says that the first prerequisite of a chassid, to be a chassid, is azut. That if you're not bold, you can't begin to be a chassid. A chassid means a person who has loving kindness. That's what the word chassid comes from. Nonetheless, in order to be to fully express in this world with all the difficulties and the obstacles of this world, to be able to manifest maximal love and loving kindness, you have to have boldness to you. You have to have chutzpah to you. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to manifest in this reality that we live in. So once more, about dogs, it says that they are bold, more bold than any other animal. They're smarter just in terms of native intelligence. And also they have this special property of recognition, of consciousness, to be able to recognize another being, especially their own master. That's why we're all also taught that dogs are faithful. Dogs are very faithful to the master. Now, in the Torah itself, there is one great tzaddik whose name means dog, which is very unusual. Probably none of us would call our child dog as a proper name. But we see that in the Torah, there was one great figure whose name is the same as dog. He is Kalev ben Yefuneh, one of the princes of the tribe of Judah, the good spy who was faithful to Moses, even though all of the 10 spies were unfaithful. He was the faithful spy. There was another faithful spy, Joshua, but for him it wasn't a big chidush, not a great innovation for him to be faithful. He was the prime disciple of Moses. So everybody knew that he's going to side together with Moses. But the one that wasn't clear at all is who's he going to be faithful to, was this one spy whose name is Dog. That's the real meaning of his name, Kalev ben Yefuneh. So we see that he was faithful. For him it was a very great feat to be faithful. He was faithful to Moses. Moses himself is called the faithful servant of God. He's called the faithful one. That's one of the names that only Moses possesses. And Moshe Rabbeinu himself is called the Ne'eman, the Chol Beiti Ne'emanu. In all of my home, says God, he is the faithful one. So who was this dog, Kalev? His name means dog. He was Ne'eman, the Ne'eman. He was faithful to the faithful one. Now that phrase itself, if that's translated into its numerical value, to be faithful to the faithful, Ne'eman le'ne'eman in Hebrew equals 6 times the word dog. Why 6 times the word dog, Kalev? Because the word dog has 3 letters to it. And whenever you have a word that possesses 3 different letters, they have 6 permutations to them, as taught in Kabbalah. And the full expression, or the consummate expression of the word, is when you take into consideration every possible way that you can spell the letters that compose its name. So the very word dog, since it has 3 letters, it can be written in 6 different ways, and that full, we call it the full spectrum, or the full composition of the word equals faithful to the faithful. So there's something about dog that, again, this is the property of this of Kalev, that Tzadik's name literally means dog, that he is totally faithful to the faithful. Alright, so now we turn to our image. Our image of this week's parasha is that the dogs here did a good thing. That normally dogs bark, especially they bark and they wane and cry when the angel of death appears in the city. That's just what we said before in the name of the sages. But here is a classic example that's exactly what was happening. That the angel of death was here, was entering, in order to kill all of the firstborn of Egypt. And nonetheless, the dogs didn't sharpen their tongue, meaning that they didn't bark at all. So according to certain opinions of the sages, even though they didn't bark at the Jews, they did bark at the Egyptians. I mean, that once more they have this very fine ability to distinguish. It says to the whole, the way that the verse reads literally in the text is that to all of the children of Israel, the dogs did not bark. From which we can understand that to the children of Israel they didn't bark, but to the Egyptians they did bark, means that they recognized exactly who the angel of death was coming for. And to the Egyptians they barked, and to the Jews they didn't bark. There's another interpretation that they didn't bark at all, because here it wasn't really the angel of death. It says that the one that smote the firstborn was actually God himself, came not together with an angel. And out of total nullification called bitul to Hashem, who here is appearing himself as it were to enact this last of the 10 plagues, they remained quiet altogether. Now, it says that the dogs that remained quiet were given a reward. They did a good thing here, the dogs. Now, this is our meditation for this week of Parashat Bo. That the dogs did a mitzvah. The mitzvah that they did was that they didn't bark at all. I mean that they showed respect to the Jewish people, and they showed self-nullification before God. And they also, and all the interpretations are correct in a certain, each one in its own dimension, they distinguished, they made a total distinguishing differentiation between the Jewish people and between the Egyptians, thereby helping, as it were, the Jewish people leave that negative context of being enslaved to the Egyptians. So they were partners, as it were, with God and with the Jewish people to leave Egypt. What was the reward? So it says there are two rewards. There's a reward it's alluded to in the Chumash itself, in the Torah itself. And it says that if it finds an unkosher animal in the field called a taref, something which is treif, then you throw it, you give it to the dog. Why does the Torah have to say you give it to the dog? You should be able to do anything that you want with it. You can't eat it, but you can throw it away, or you can do something else with it. It's not forbidden to have some other pleasure from it, from treif. There are certain things that are forbidden that you're not allowed to have any pleasure from whatsoever. But this treif meat, you can do whatever you want with it. Nonetheless, the Torah says that give it to the dog. So the sages say that giving it, throwing it, thrusting it to the dog is in reward for the dogs keeping quiet here at the tenth, during the tenth plague. But there's another even deeper interpretation that Chazal say, the sages say in a different context, that because the dogs were quiet, they merited to sing a song to God forever and ever, which is the last is in a certain way the epitome, the highest, of all of the songs that all of the creatures on earth sing to God. There's a certain collection of verses that are linked together. Each verse is linked to an animal or to some other creation that God created in the world, which is called the Chapter of Song, Perek Shira. And there, this is attributed originally to King David himself, to David HaMelech. There, every creature is given a song that it sings to Hashem. In that whole collection of the creatures that they sing to Hashem, the last, which one, once more in a certain sense is the highest of all, is called the Song of the Dog. And the Song of the Dog is the verse in Psalms 95, just before a very famous verse that maybe we remember, that it says that when the Messiah himself, Mashiach, has asked, when are you going to come? His answer is today. But then after he says today, Hayom, he goes on to say, if you listen to his voice. But it's on condition that you listen to his voice. Hayom im bekolo tishmao in Hebrew. The verse just before that reads, come, let us prostrate ourselves and bow and kneel before God who has made us. In Hebrew it reads, Bo nishtachavev nichra nivrecha lifnei Hashem hoseinu. So this verse is, according to David HaMelech, King David, and the sages, is the song of the dogs. How the Chazal themselves ask the question, how did the dog merit this beautiful verse? We're going to explain what this verse is all about. How did the dog merit to sing this verse to God continuously? So the answer is because of this very reason, because they were quiet and didn't bark during the smiting of the firstborn, and showed their respect for the Jewish people and differentiated between the Jewish people and the Egyptians and so forth, as we explained before, in that merit they received this most beautiful song verse to sing to God forever and ever. Now what's so important and special about this verse? In a different place, the sages say that this is the very first verse that Adam, the first man to be created, before his fall, which is his sin, the primordial sin, is the very first thing that came out of Adam's mouth was this verse. Because Adam was created after all of the other animals on earth were created. And when he first was created, he saw around him, he was in the Garden of Eden, but he saw around him all of the creatures that God created. And his first spontaneous response to witnessing all of the beauty of God's creation was to say to all of the animals, let's come together and prostrate ourselves and bow down and kneel before God who has made us all. This very same verse. So this is the very first verse that Adam said before the sin. Had he continued to retain that state of consciousness, he would never have sinned. And then he himself would have become the Mashiach, it says. But he wasn't able to retain this state of consciousness. So we say that this consciousness, which is totally altruistic, out of himself, he's not asking, he was just now created. His spontaneous consciousness is that he needs nothing for himself. He just turns to all of the world, to all of creation, and says, let us all now bow down before our Creator who has made us. Now, the verse uses there three different verbs. First it says, let us come. The fact that the verse begins with the word bo, come, that is a very clear allusion to the name of this week's parsha, which is come, the very same word. Just the come of this week's parsha is in the singular, come, because Hashem is addressing Moses himself, whereas this same word come, bo, is in the plural, because he's turning to all of the creatures of the world and says, all of you, all of us together, come and let us prostrate ourselves. Now, if this is the verse of Adam, how can this become the verse of the dog? And that's really amazing. That this is the song of Adam. In that collection of verses, man doesn't have a song there, an independent song, because man isn't considered there as one of the creations. This is just all the other creatures, excluding Adam. But we see that this very verse is the spontaneous initial song of Adam. and had once more, he retained that state of consciousness and that mission in life. And what was his state of consciousness? It was a natural consciousness feeling of mission. That my mission is to arouse and inspire all of creation to recognize and bow down to God, to the Creator. So had he retained that, he would have been Mashiach, and he wouldn't have sinned at all. How can this become the song of the dog? So once more, if we turn and now examine the verse a little bit more, so we see that there are three verbs. First, let us come and prostrate ourselves, nishtachaveh, which means to totally lie down on the ground, on the floor, with the full extension of one's arms, one's hands, and one's legs. That's the first verb, nishtachaveh. The second is a little bit rising up, that you're not prostrated on the ground, but it's called nichra. Nichra means that you're bowing down with your head bent down. Whereas you've a little bit got up from that prostration, and now you're bowing with your head down. That's called nichra. Then the final verb is called just kneeling, which is nivrecha, which means that your whole body is erect, and just your knees are kneeling down. But you're on your knees, but your whole body is erect. Your head is not bent down. Now, after the third stage, these are like three stages of rising up. In Kabbalah, it says that these three stages represent in a very, very deep way the secret of the resurrection of the dead. At first, the dead themselves are totally prostrated like a corpse in the grave, in a coffin. And then, when he begins to rise up, his head is still bent down. But then finally, his head becomes erect, and what remains in submission, in a state of submission to God, is his kneeling. That very same word that means to kneel also means to draw down blessing. It's the same word, nivrecha. That by kneeling to God, as he's always in a submission to God, by kneeling, he draws down blessing. But he's erect. Now obviously these images, this three-stage image, first of all, it corresponds very clearly to what we see in the world, the way a dog kneels. And we already have some identity, some relationship to the dog. But the deepest thing here of all is it says that this verse, and this is why the greatest of sages didn't understand, it says they didn't understand the secret of this verse and how these dogs were able to merit this most beautiful verse from Psalms. It says that ultimately in the future, when the dogs rise up little by little, the dog will metamorphize into a human being. So this is now the epitome of our meditation today. The final meditation is seeing a dog first in total bitul, selflessness to God, and calling upon all of creation to join him in his prostration to God. And in that merit, the dog is being lifted up and becoming erect. And even in the final stage of his becoming erect, he still remains kneeling, because the kneeling itself is the ability that he has to draw down blessing from above. Even in Chazal, there's a saying that sometimes a human being can have a full human stature, and just his face is the face of a dog. It says that this is a characteristic that characterizes the not right, or the not positive, the not good leaders, just of the generation, leaders of leaders of government before the coming of the Mashiach, that their face are dog faces. They're human beings, but they look like dogs. It's called Pnei Hador Kivnei HaKelev. Now, again, this is with all the negative implications of the dog. But the secret of this week's portion is that together with the negative audacity of Pharaoh, at the same time that's being killed here, because the greatest audacity is that of the firstborn, the greatest chutzpah and asut. We said that there's another nation that even has more than the Egyptians. That's Amalek, the arch enemy of the Jewish people, is also referred to as the bad dog that we have to fight against. But in the end, the dog, in the merits that he has, will be resurrected and will transform and metamorphosize into a human being in these three stages. So this is the meditation, this or the image that we're now choosing to be our specific meditation for this week's Torah reading, the tikkun, the rectification of the dog and his three-stage resurrection process.
You have been listening to a lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg, recorded and presented to you free of charge by Galina Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginzburg. Galina Institute is a non-profit organization, and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the InterDimension homepage at www.inner.org. www.inner.org. In Hebrew, Galinai means, open my eyes. These words are from the verse in Psalms, open my eyes, that I may behold the wonders of your Torah. Under the leadership of Rabbi Ginzburg, our goal is to open the world's eyes to the light of the inner dimension of Torah, to discover God, and to connect to Him in all that we do. As we learn from the Baal Shem Tov, spreading this light will hasten the complete and true redemption. We invite you to join the Galinai team and participate with Rabbi Ginzburg in learning, teaching, and spreading the inner dimension of Torah, Kabbalah, and Hasidut. Together, the Galinai team will change the world, bringing God's loving kindness, health, happiness, and true peace to all. For more information about Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg's teachings and how to participate with the Galinai team, visit the Inner Dimension website at www.inner.org. www.inner.org. Or email us at inner@inner.org.